Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back for another Rain After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, it's episode 12 of season 3, and Dudley is back in court, only to be sent to France, possibly Scotland, who knows? But Elizabeth does. There's a lot going on and a lot of deaths. What a great episode. Let's talk about it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The buzz continues because we just watched a great episode of Rain. I have Alina Vision here.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Alina Vision.
That's right. And I'm Keaton Markey. No, I'm not. I'm Phil Svitek. Keaton is still on sabbatical.
Yep, still out.
Still out somewhere in the world with my book of castles, which we'll be talking about, of course, later on today. We have Castle Corner. Keep it going, James. Keep that music going. Don't ruin.
Yes.
There you go. It's
we
Rain.
We need to hear it.
You got to get pumped up.
Yes.
It's the Lumineers. It's the song that we don't get in the show, but you get it here on the after show. I thought overall, fantastic episode.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
You don't think so?
I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was definitely a good episode. What was the one thing that like totally stood out for you that made it just
strategy.
A slam dunk?
Strategy.
Okay.
It just, you know, you got the Vatican.
Right.
And you know, now Mary kind of becomes a pawn, and yet Elizabeth, who thinks she has power, is really a pawn, and her whole thing depends on what Mary chooses, and then Gideon, and then Narcisse, and Catherine.
There was a lot going on. Yeah, for sure.
And Dudley's back.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And Lola plays chess, and that's like symbolic. They're playing literal chess, but they're also playing chess. So it's, you know.
It all falls in.
That's right. But let's start kind of with something that's, I think, ultimately, at least for the next couple episodes, going to slightly sidetrack this. Mm-hmm. The 13 Knights.
Right. That came out of nowhere.
It did. It was like, we need to quicken things up, but we still have a couple more episodes, so we need to develop a subplot. So let's talk about the 13 Knights. And, you know what? At least we got the backstory pretty quick on who they are. You know, they're obviously men that just they were owed some money. Rather than pay them back, we're gonna
kill them.
You know,
solves the problem right there.
and of course Henry continues to haunt us because it's his actions ultimately that chose to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who do you think? Because at first I thought it was Kristoff.
Right, so did I. I totally thought it was Kristoff. And I still kind of think he has something to do with it. But I'm not sure.
Oh, is he like a descendant? He's like a son who's here to avenge his people?
Maybe. I mean, it could be something like that because he's a little creepy. He's on the creepy side. I mean, he likes to kill. He's killing in court. That's where he likes to do his killing. I don't know. I feel like he's somehow connected to it.
You know, I like that because last week, for those of you tuned in, we talked about the why. Like, it kind of felt a little bit lame because it felt a little forced. There was no why. This is definitely a great why.
Right, exactly.
So, you know what? See, you got to just trust the show.
See where it goes. But yeah, what do you think about the whole 13 Knights? Where do you think this is going to go?
In some mythos, 13 is the original number of the Knights of the Round Table.
That's right.
So I thought it could have tied into that somehow with Arthur.
Mm.
But clearly it didn't go that way. And I mean, not that it necessarily can't, but I don't think it will. I do think Kristoff is a great choice because he also did show up. I know it's convenient and it's coincidental, but he was supposed to be off wolf hunting, and then he conveniently returns just when the 13 Knights show up.
Exactly.
So
his appearances and disappearances are very convenient as to the action that was going on.
That's right. And in the words of The Dark Knight Rises of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, I'm a detective, and I'm not, and I can't believe in coincidences.
Oh, okay.
Which is one of the more cheesier lines in that entire movie.
But you pulled it out for this one.
That's right. Yep. You know, too bad CSI Bash was not involved this episode.
Not too much. He just came in for that scene with Catherine to lay the story, and that was pretty much it, right?
That's pretty much You know, he didn't do too much tonight.
No, not at all.
Do we like history continuing to kind of come out of the woodwork, especially when it surrounds Catherine?
I kind of do, because I always like her storylines. I like the fact that this is something new. I hope it doesn't like drag out super, super long, like kind of how some of those supernatural stories did in the past. But I guess we'll have to see it. I mean, it definitely brings something interesting to the table.
What I like about Catherine and her storyline, she's very quick to make a decision, whereas Mary,
right,
she marinates on these things and takes, it's a slow build, even in the decision that she made tonight. She kind of thinks things through and sometimes doesn't even know the answer, and we'll talk about that. But Catherine, you can call it experience, you can call it just gumption. She's always
pulls
the trigger.
Right.
And I like that now potentially she's dealing with this, and she's dealing with Narcisse and Charles Morrill.
Right.
Who's now dead in a river. And it may or may not actually be Narcisse. Do you think this has to do with Narcisse?
What the...
Well, because Catherine thinks that somehow he's tied into this, that he knew about the play.
Oh, that's right. I somehow don't think he has any knowledge about it. I still think it's all kind of surrounding Kristoff for some reason.
I do too. And you know what? I also partly, it's this weird thing. I do like Catherine and Narcisse working together. I think the two of them are absolutely fantastic, despite how deplorable the two of them can actually
exactly.
be. So, you know, I do like it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to see. I think one thing is that Catherine seems to be kind of marinating on the whole Kristoff thing. I would have thought that she would have had enacted more of a plan than just sending him off to, like, hunt wolves than she had now. But that's something I'm a little bit surprised about.
Yeah, you know what? You would think...
Or that she would get to the bottom of who he told. Like, who else knows, you know?
If you can stop the letter...
Exactly.
Then you can kill the source.
Exactly.
And it's not Catherine's way not to, like...
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Have her spies around court figure it out, yeah.
But I do like it. I mean, you know, we talked about last time that the power of all these women. Elizabeth's got her own issues. So, and I like kind of now Catherine's thrown into this where she's now the regent, but here she is. You never get a break.
No,
it's never a happy
ever,
endings. As
ever.
She said, you know, she was so excited for this play because we need a good happy ending around here.
And then Guy in a Goat Head comes out and ruins it.
Man, that's the story of my life.
What, Guy in a Goat Head?
Yep.
That's an interesting life you have there, Phil.
You know, it really is. It really is. Can you imagine trying to lose? You're finally about to lose your virginity. Kind of
go ahead. Go ahead, comes out.
Damn.
Wow.
Terrible.
Yep.
All right. Let's cross the pond for a moment and talk about Dudley and let's start with Elizabeth and Lola. This friendship that is developing. Again, I said I liked it from last episode, and I like it more today.
I do. I like it more. I like the fact that I think it shows a softer side of Elizabeth. And Lola just has that effect on everyone, it seems like. She's so easy to trust. She's so friendly. And, you know, she's proven not to be at least detrimental to Elizabeth in any fashion so far.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, a lot, you know, obviously for Elizabeth and Mary, they kind of have to have men in their lives, right? They have to find a husband, and that's part of, like, the job description. But many times also just kind of taking it outside even that time period, everyone thinks they need a man in their life or a significant other. You know what? They're proving. I think that this is the start of a beautiful friendship because as she's, you know, they just need somebody to talk to and trust. And yes, there's always going to be that element that I don't think they're necessarily going to, at least for the time being, cross that line with each other of telling them too much.
Right.
But at least emotion-wise, they can be honest with each other. And that's something that Elizabeth has never had. And Lola, you know, she had that to a degree with Mary, and that, but obviously now she's here. So
right.
And as Lola said, now without Narcisse, her bed feels empty. Obviously, they're not going to sleep together, but again, they could just share each other's company.
Exactly. So. No, I totally agree with that. And I think... it's good for Elizabeth because we haven't really seen her with any girlfriends like we did with Mary. You know, we saw kind of, you know, her court that was there with her. So I guess it's good for Elizabeth to have somebody to talk to. And I guess somebody that kind of knows the feeling that she's going through, like how Lola laid it out. You know, I'm not talking to my husband. I don't open his letters. He sends it every day, but I still miss him. I still miss, you know, my husband, and I understand you have this lover you can't be with, and now you've sent him off to France, and you know, at least we got each other.
I liked how Catherine said, you know, how's it feel knowing that she prefers to sleep in enemy territory than your own bed?
Yeah,
let's roll. Okay, what was if you were Narcisse, what would one of the first letters have in it?
I'm sorry. I don't know. He'd probably say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I don't know. Who knows?
James, find me some, like, classical yet romantic music, and I'm going to improv.
Oh, God. Okay.
A letter from Narcisse to
yes,
Lola.
Yes. Let's hear this one.
I'm going to give you a couple seconds to cue it up while I think of,
music on.
Think of what I can... Okay.
There we go.
This is a little more cheery, but all right, we'll go with it. Dear Lola, in hindsight, perhaps the rats in your bathtub, dead or alive, it doesn't matter, were never a good idea. Mm-hmm. Number one, I realize now that they are what caused the Black Plague.
Oh, God, you took it there.
So, yeah.
Right.
I don't want to say men are dumb, but at least I'm dumb. And you know what? You just, you know, you knocked me off my feet. I'm crazy for you, baby. If there's anything I can do to make you come back from England, let me know. You know, whatever it is, I'd like you back.
All right. And that's the letter.
That's the letter.
This music is just doing the most.
That's the letter.
So. You think he, yeah, I mean, I think he'd go even deeper than that. Like,
deeper than that. James, cue the music. Alina's going to do a rendition.
Oh, wow. Well, dear Lola, I really want to apologize. I love you so much. You're the love of my life.
You're my mija.
Yeah, exactly. Mijo, mija. Exactly. My bed is empty waiting for you. Please come back. I don't even know.
Although it could be filled with any number of
exactly,
women.
Exactly, exactly.
I choose you.
Exactly.
All right, that's good. No, this, you know what? Honestly, that was actually a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys found it fun. Please, honestly, can you guys in the comments section just write fan fiction for this?
That would
I really
be
want
great.
To read these. I do.
Yes,
I swear to God.
That would be awesome.
This would be the most fun.
What does Narcisse say in those letters? Yes.
Oh,
only imagine.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Dudley.
Dudley, yes.
You know, I first off, I don't understand how you can be the queen and just in your own little carriage go to this tiny little village.
Right?
And
nobody notices.
Yeah. Like, to me, secrecy involves night, cloaks, singularity.
Right.
And, yeah, that's it. No carriage, no Lolo, no nothing. Like, what are we doing here?
Exactly. But the thing that got me, I was like, nobody noticed. And also, where are her guards? Like, if you're traveling that far, because it seemed like they were going pretty far, right?
Yeah, he was exiled quite
exactly.
a bit.
Exactly. So, the queen's gone for a few hours, and nobody knows where
she's at. At that point,
she was
gone for a day, because
right.
the duel was at dawn.
Oh, that's right.
And then you have, like... I don't know if it's the whole townspeople, because I assume at that point it's the world's smallest town.
Right.
But they're nicely divided in there's everyone's side, and there's right. Robert Dudley and the queen.
It's like in the
nobody
middle,
notices.
Right? Yeah, nobody notices at all. Or she's close. She's like around there. That was, yeah, that was kind of odd to me.
Word advice, people, just in general, the best secrets are the ones only you know. As soon as you let any other person know, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the collective unconscious or otherwise, it's just out
very
there.
Very true.
I mean, at the very least, this the horse man, whatever you call him.
Right? The carriage driver? I don't
yes.
know.
I can't think
he
of the
knows.
Word.
Yeah, he knows where you're going.
So,
kind of like a doorman. Like, they know what's up. Yeah. They see you coming in and out. Yeah.
And they beside your guests.
Exactly. In. Exactly.
Ah, oh, man. But Dudley's heroics, or, I mean, what did you think of that whole thing? Him wanting to kind of face and just be part of, be a statesman.
You mean come back to court?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it seems like that's kind of all he knows. That's what he wants to do. He feels kind of useless without having that position. Because he said, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to go up to Lancaster and just wander around and have, like, aimlessly have no purpose. And I knew eventually she would probably let him come back. I was thrown off by her sending him to marry Mary.
I kind of figured right away because it's then at least kind of Mary's ultimately put in check. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it from that perspective, right, who could be more lowly for Mary to wed?
Oh, yeah,
than him.
Than your cousin's lover, who well, is right.
But also from the perspective of right. England, like, this guy's absolutely atrocious.
Exactly.
And we're going to throw him over there.
Yeah.
But again, that's the it's just sick and twisted in its own way, because, again, at the end of the day, here's your successor. And everyone, right, it's a power play because, as Elizabeth said, then Mary's admitting that Elizabeth is the rightful queen
right.
and Mary is not. But now you're putting in your position, like, we'll talk about the Vatican, but again, like, now you're setting yourself up as a target.
Exactly. You're setting yourself up to get assassinated, pretty much.
Like, you've basically just been like, hey, you know what? That sword in your hand is not good enough. Why don't we give you a shotgun?
Right, yeah. And the fact that, like, she didn't figure that out or didn't think that whole thing through, I don't know, it kind of makes me think she's has some blind spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of the... And also, again, I think... In the short term, you win.
Right.
But in the long term, you piss off a lot of people, and this is what is causing all these wars. Right? Mm-hmm. So, going back to the how we started the episode, if mm-hmm. they just paid some money back, we wouldn't have the 13 knights, would we?
Exactly.
So,
you For know, every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
In this world, there's a much greater
yeah, exactly.
reaction.
Exactly. It comes back to roost in a big way.
So, so it'll be interesting, you know, and it's interesting, especially now that, you know, Dudley obviously doesn't want to do this, but we'll talk about Gideon, but he's now going to kind of enter this world of Gideon and Mary, which
yeah.
he doesn't even want to, but then obviously Gideon's not going to be happy about that either.
No, Gideon's not going to be happy at all. What do you think about the whole Gideon-Mary situation? Are we on that yet?
Sure.
Okay.
We can talk about that. I mean... When Mary says at the end, "I don't know why I did it,"
mm-hmm.
I was like, "Oh," because as I was watching, I thought she was taking the advice of Catherine, like, "Let him be your lover, but don't trust him."
Right.
And I thought she laid out the information for him as a means to pull him in and have him as a tool.
So you didn't think that she had feelings for him? It was more just kind of strategic?
Initially.
Okay.
It's too soon. Francis. R.I.P. Francis.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. At least in our world, it's a little too soon. I don't know. I had this feeling she had feelings for him. I think yeah. she does. But I think she's, like, so confused because there's so much going on. There's, you know, her trying to figure out her whole situation.
Well, listen. See, it goes back to the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, if Greer was there for Mary, uh-huh. she wouldn't need a man... something in her to feel good. Okay, no, right? She was looking for condolences and companionship
right.
from Greer.
Okay.
And Greer wasn't picking up what she was putting down. Greer was on in her own selfish world, pregnant as could be.
Yeah.
Without anyone noticing.
Which is so bizarre to me. I'm like, how can you not notice?
That was the most awkward, like, Greer was just so awkwardly selfish of, like, can we do it in the summer?
Yeah. how did Mary not pick up on that? Like, you haven't seen her in forever. She's hiding behind something every time you do see her. Her clothes are getting a little bit bigger, and now she's asking if she
her
can go.
Must be
exactly, exactly. I mean, there's just certain, oh my goodness, there's like a thing flying around. There's just certain things, like, you know, that always happen when you get pregnant, and Mary's completely oblivious to it, which is kind of funny to me.
You know, just how about this, like, general rule, just always ask at the end, hey, let's just hug. Had they hugged, Mary would have found out.
Yeah,
she would be like, whoa,
that's some advice you should take yourself there, Phil.
Oh,
who's that?
James, you never like to give me hugs.
Who that?
Oh.
James from the booth. Welcome, James.
Hello, James.
James, we're not talking about our relationship on air.
But, I mean, I don't know. Come on, Mary. Everyone, when do you think Greer is finally, do you think she'll ever tell Mary?
I don't know. Hopefully. Like, why isn't she telling Mary?
Exactly.
I don't understand. Like, what have you got to gain?
Because Mary knew about the pirate, right?
Steve the Pirate.
Steve the Pirate, yeah.
No, it wasn't Steve the Pirate.
I don't know.
It was the Pirate.
The Pirate, yeah. So it's not like it would be something out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're running a brothel, so...
And it's one of the... Here's the thing. Like, Mary helped Lola.
Exactly.
Who had the child...
Of her husband.
Yeah, so you don't think she's going to be willing to help you?
Exactly.
Come on. Think about it.
Yeah.
Greer. But all that to say that if Mary had a little support from her friends, she wouldn't need Gideon as much as she would have thought. But it felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, you know. Girl's got to get it in. I don't know.
You know, one thing for me that's certain, Gideon has feelings for her. Mary, I think she's getting there.
No, I think she has feelings.
Okay.
I think this episode she got there. Before I was kind of like, I don't know, but I think this episode.
Did they sleep together after or before they? Oh, they slept. Okay, they slept before he killed.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. That would be interesting if she found out he killed somebody and then was like, oh, hey.
Yeah. Oh.
What's up?
Yeah, and I just think that because of the fact that he told her, you know, he killed. What was his name?
Jeffrey.
Yes. She didn't react like, oh my goodness, how could you do that? Da, 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 da. She was just kind of like, oh, he did this for me. And yeah. Hmm. Her reaction kind of told me she's some feelings.
It.
Yeah, she's got some feelings.
Well, Catherine's not happy about this.
No.
Not one bit. You know, but Catherine, at the end of the day, never gave her a solid answer to her question of basically being a pawn.
Right.
Because the Vatican is backing her this entire way, and they, you know, they're going to assassinate Elizabeth.
But right. But then they'd want a male to be king, so they'd assassinate Mary. That's what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So then who would they want to be king?
Francis? Charles.
Yeah, because he would be the next Catholic king, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, France right now. I mean,
right.
It's tough to fit, you know. Like, we need some, like, who's doing the best right now in the
right.
world. We need some sort of quick map overview.
I think it would be him because the Spanish prince, remember?
He's no good.
Yeah, he's...
The interesting part of all, like... This isn't a perfect world, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone always makes these plans of in a perfect world. And they forget, like, first off, Elizabeth has to be assassinated. Like, if that doesn't happen, this entire plan goes by the wayside.
Right.
So, okay, that's step number one. And then eventually, I think there's ways, once Mary gets there, that there are ways to prevent this from happening. Especially, right. I mean, Charles has an affinity towards her.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm assuming that it would be Charles.
Right.
But who knows?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes you just gotta kind of get to that point and almost be like, okay, now let's deal with this.
Now what? Do you think her getting married to someone who's also powerful, like another prince?
Who is it gonna be?
I know, exactly.
The problem is, I need a menu. I need to know who's available and who's not.
This is true. This is very true.
Because the list of eligible bachelors seemingly in this world is...
very
is,
tiny.
Yeah.
It is teeny tiny.
So, you know, I just... And then they're going around and... You know? It's less than the 13 nights.
Yes.
I think we can safely
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
Unless you want to marry, like, the king of... some unknown country. I was trying to figure out one without being insulting, but right. I didn't want to throw any country under the bus.
There you go.
For being shitty.
Keep it PC.
yeah. But Rodolphe, he obviously puts pressure on Mary to make sure this happens and to go with it. Yeah, but ultimately, that's always the interesting part. Like, who's ultimately in control?
Right.
There's a great movie called The Master. And in it, the late Philip Seymour Hoffman says, show me a world where there is no master. And then I forget the rest of the quote. But basically, it's a way of saying there is no world. So whether you're the king, the queen, you're answering to the people. You're answering to the Vatican. Okay, if you're the Vatican, you're answering, you're always answering to somebody.
Somebody, right.
Yeah, everyone has a master. So
very true.
And you know what? Sometimes being higher power means just bigger mass.
More problems.
And that was kind of interesting. I thought, you know, when Gideon was telling her, like, there's always another option. Don't do this. She'll own you. It's like, okay, well, you can be owned by Elizabeth or somebody else ultimately.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? At the end of the day, I like Mary's thoughts on the whole, like, at the end of the day, like, she's my cousin.
Yeah.
We're talking about my cousin.
Right.
We're talking about family.
All of a sudden, they're fam.
They've always been.
Well, I know.
This is just interesting.
Exactly. Just the change. And she's like, I can't do this. Like, that's my cousin. That's family. But she did have a point, because if that were to happen, everyone would blame her for it and come after her.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anything else to add about this episode? No,
I don't think so. It was a good one.
It was indeed
a very, very good one. I'm very excited to see what happens between Gideon and Mary.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that in predictions. But before we get into predictions, let's talk about Castle Corner. And we're going all the way to Sweden. But before we even get there, I'm going to give you guys, you know what? One of the things, I think a lot of these people in this show, they just need a good night's rest sometimes.
Absolutely.
They need a Casper mattress, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? Thank God for Casper mattresses. It takes latex and foam. It's and kind of combines the two into this great technology where you just get a good night's rest. I've tried a Casper mattress so much so that one of my roommates stole my Casper mattress.
No way!
True story. That's how great it is. So I'm getting my own Casper mattress.
Now I want one.
you should. Try it out. The best part is, right, most mattresses, they cost well over $1,000.
Right.
Number one. Number two, you kind of go... The regular method, you go to the store, you try it out.
Right.
At best... you know, you're only going to try it out for like 10 minutes at most,
right? Exactly. You're not sleeping, yeah.
And it's not going to be indicative of what ultimately your night's rest is going to be.
Right.
And so you buy this mattress that you feel like is going to be good, and then lo and behold, you've paid a lot of money for something that you don't ultimately like.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Casper, number one, is already great to begin with. Number two, a king-size mattress is less than $1,000. It's $950.
Wow.
That's
you can't
a king.
Beat that. You
That's
can't
a
beat
king,
that.
Baby.
Yeah.
We could outfit the entire kingdom of France with these. So there's your starting. There's your top price.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, everything else is lower. And, you know, you buy it online, Casper.com. And you know what? They ship it to you, so, hence why it can be a lot cheaper. And you try it out for 100 days.
That's perfect. You can't ask for anything better than that.
Well,
to try it out.
I'm going to give you something better.
What?
We're gonna make it even better. If you go to Casper.com and try out one of these mattresses, On your purchase, you can get $50 off by typing in AfterBuzz TV. That's AfterBuzz TV.
Nice.
Promo code. So $50. So a match, a cheap mattress already cheaper. And when I say cheap, I don't mean the quality.
Right.
I mean the price.
You just sweetened the pot there, Phil.
That's right. And we're going to sweeten the pot even more as we move into Castle Corner. Moving all the way to Sweden, y'all. Yes. I figured I'd pick something a little bit different. Now, this is more of a mansion than a castle, per se, but it's called the Dagnäs Castle. The earliest known records of Dagnäs Estate date back to the 15th century when it was owned by Kungshuvud family. The current main building was built in 1772. To 1782 by Per Tham. The current appearance originates from the restoration made according to the plan of Helgo Zettervalt in 1874. Over the years, several Viking Age runestones from the region have been moved to the castle grounds.
Very cool.
So, it's a cool little castle in Sweden.
Yeah. It kind of looks like the house from Downton Abbey, a little bit.
A little bit. It's again, you kind of, people have different definitions of castles, and so the fun exercise of all this is learning all the different castles that exist out there. Again, to me, this is more of an estate rather than a castle.
Right.
But it is a Swedish castle nonetheless. And when I get my book back from Keaton, I will have even better castles to share.
Oh, the book. The infamous book. Still waiting on it. One day.
I feel like it's been stolen from me.
Aww.
This was like a $60 book.
I cannot wait to see this book. I've heard so much about it.
You know, someone went out of their way to give us a great book. And Keaton's now hoarding it.
Oh.
It wasn't just for Keaton. It was for everybody.
Right.
All right. Let's move into predictions. So the Game of Knights.
Yeah.
Did you see the preview? Do you watch the previews?
Now I watched a little bit, but I didn't. I mean, I saw some.
Yeah, they call it the Game of Knights. Knights,
right.
Obviously a play on Game of Thrones and the 13 Knights. So I think we're very much sidetracking for a quick moment to talk about to resolve these knights.
Right. See the castle kind of getting overrun, possibly.
Yeah.
A little battle at the front of it, I would say.
When do you think Dudley is ultimately going to get to France? Is it going to be next episode or like two episodes? Or three? Or four?
I don't think... Maybe at the end of next episode. I don't think he'll play like a major role of any sort coming into court next episode. So either the end of next episode or the beginning of the following one, cool. I would say. I think this whole next episode is mainly going to be about... The knights. Yeah, and what's going on at French court, and
I hope it is interesting because I like it, but whereas this episode was so strong because we advanced the plot with our core characters, whereas this again it's a subplot, and not that subplots can't be good, but it's just going so well. Let's keep it going.
So well, yeah.
But you know that's just love, nothing but love.
Right.
That's all I got. I don't really have predictions.
Yeah, I don't have too many predictions either. I think the whole romance between Gideon and Mary is going to go forward.
Yeah, it is.
Push forward for sure.
Baby? Or no?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Mary's just so incapable of having children.
Yeah. Mm. Just from history telling me, no, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Hate to be the buzzkill, but no.
Well, history has a weird sense.
Exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us yet again on another after show for Rain here on AfterBuzz TV. Honest to God, please write those fan fiction letters.
Yes.
From Narcisse to Lola.
Lola, we have to read those. Those are awesome.
If you guys just overwhelm us with these, I promise to read at least five of them.
Yes.
Next episode.
Exactly. Love it.
You can make them as short as you want. You can make them as long as you want. You can make them as honest as you want. You can make it as comedic as you want. I don't care.
Just do it.
That will be so much fun. That's all I got. Where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Alina Vision.
And follow us here at AfterBuzz TV, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now Snapchat!
Woo-hoo! Hopped on the Snapchat train.
That's right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.